our subject again this evening. And for 4 weeks past, we have been thinking about the common market. And we looked at the so-called unity of this market on one evening. And we found out that the unity is not just so great as some of the politicians try to make it. And all these 10 toes, and we found out there were 10 kings, and we found the word kings could be rulers or authorities or powers. And the 10 toes are twiggling just now in you. But we found out from the book that the unit is not just as great as they make it appear to be. And then on another night we looked at the prosperity of the common market, and we found out that it is really going to be very prosperous, so this book says. We haven't any doubts about that. You see, at the present moment, it's just like a sort of glorified old atmosphere, but it's going to cover the world, and every tongue, and every kindred. My, they'll all have to take note of what the common market policy is. We not only looked at its unity and its prosperity and its diabolical policies, but we looked at its first presidency. Well, they're going to have a parliament in Brussels, and then they'll get a president. We found out he would be the man of sin, and what a character he'll be. And last week we just looked up the religion that's going to be the religion of the common market. And that was quite a night for some of us. But a lot of letters this week, and people getting their eyes open. Because the scarlet woman, the whore of Revelation 17, is going to ride the beast for a moment or two. And although he's the president, he's going to just bow and let this diabolical system of Rome rule the market just for a very short time. I think that's what some of the folks forget. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 17. We didn't just finish this chapter properly. But let's get a few phrases out of it again. Verse 1. And there came one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials and talked with me. That is, this angel came and talked with John, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And I tried to underline last week that this chapter, the special subject of the chapter, is the judgment. Because we never touch the judgment. But that is really the subject of the chapter. It's the judgment. This is a very ugly term, isn't it? The great whore. Oh, it's an inspired phrase. Don't blush. It's what the Holy Ghost uses for this damnable system. And we found out that this phrase, that sitteth upon many waters, is absolutely made clear for us here in verse 15. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations. tongues, you would have no bother with that, sure. That's the Bible talking. And this great whore is ruling over peoples and multitudes and nations and that. And then we took a long, long trek last week to make sure of exactly who this whore is. And after I had finished, I don't think there were any troubles. Her name is here, verse 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery. Something mystical about this woman. Babylon the Great, something Babylonish about her. The mother of harlots. Something fornicatory about her. And the abominations of the earth, something idolatrous about her. And when we went into the scriptures last week, we found out that this is the Roman Catholic system. And this Roman Catholic system is going to be accepted by the president of the common market as the religion for the whole world. And for a time, this woman, and you can see her there in verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy. The beast is having 7 heads and 10 horns. And we went into these 10 horns very carefully and found out that they were the same as the 10 toes, the same as the 10 kings, the same as the 10 powers. And these very toes and these very kings and these very powers, these are the 10 that will be crushed when Jesus comes to earth. Why, he crushed the feet of Daniel's image. Not the head, not the shoulders, not the thighs, the feet. Oh, we're coming terribly near to it, you know. Oh, they're there now. Now, what are the events ahead of us? It's getting that leveled out just in a moment or two. An old fellow said to me the other day, I'm waiting on the temple being built. Are you not? So that's your blessed hope, isn't it? Why are you waiting on? If it's anything less than Christ, it's a pity of you. I'm waiting on the Lord. Don't tell me you're waiting on the temple. I'll build the temple. If Jesus came tonight, they would build the temple. Don't worry about that. If that's your hope, it's just a pity. If your mind's a blessed one, the glorious appeal. You see, Christ is coming and coming very soon. When you see these toes appearing, and you know that he will have to come first to the air to take his waiting people home. Yea, he's gone to prepare a place for us. And he said, if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Yes, he didn't go to prepare a place to let you stay here, did he? He's going to take his people away to the place he has prepared. And then this Antichrist, this man of sin, this beast, this president of the common market will appear. Yes, let's try to get these events properly just all in a moment. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And Paul's writing to this little church at Thessalonica. I think this is one of the first letters he penned. He had preached down at Thessalonica, and there was a great lot of people saved, and this New Testament church appeared, and he's writing back to them, and he's saying this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1, "Now we beseech you." Paul always made great pleas to his young followers. "Now we beseech you." You get the word brethren, don't you? Just to differentiate that he wasn't talking to the world. He was talking to the believers. "Now we beseech you, brethren," watch the foundation of his plea, "by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." Oh, I would have thought that's clear enough. "As we beseech you." Oh, Christ is coming, and when he comes, we'll be gathered unto him. We'll rise to meet him in the air. Leave this blood-stained province of ours forever. You say, "We won't come back." Oh, you won't come back. You see, when we rise to meet him, we'll be changed. This body will be changed like unto his glorious body. We will become glorified spirit beings. And we're not coming back to live among mortals. I'd be amused with some of you. Oh, no. When Jesus rose from the dead, you know, in his glorified body. Oh, it was flesh and bones, all right. You know, he could walk through the wall without opening the door. The doors were shut for fear the Jews. Jesus disappeared in the room. It wouldn't do for glorified beings to come and live among mortals. God wouldn't have confusion like that. Oh, we're waiting for Christ's coming, and we're going to rise to meet him in the air. We'll be gathered unto him. Now, let me do this quickly. When that takes place, see, we're way down at verse 8, because I'm wanting to get a few facts in. "And then, and not before then shall that wicked be revealed." And the word should be "wicked one revealed." Capital W, capital O. This is this precedent. He'll be revealed. Oh, there is no hope of Kissinger ever filling this role. Not a bit of it. He's a wily customer. I think he has sold Israel down the drain this week, but that doesn't matter. But you see, the church will have to go. Christ will have to come to the air. We'll have to be gathered unto him. That's got to take place before you get "then shall that wicked one be revealed." Now, that one, that wicked one, he's the man of sin. He's the little horn of Daniel chapter 7. Oh, we put this all together not so long ago. You see, he's the beast of Revelation 13. He's the little horn of Daniel chapter 7. He's the man of sin of 2 Thessalonians. I'll tell you how you know they're all the same. Because the Bible talks about this man having a mouth and speaking great swelling words against God. And you'll find the man here speaks great words against God. You'll find the little horn of Daniel 7 speaks against the Most High. Hey, you'll find that the beast in Revelation 13 speaks, so the mouth is the same. And then you can get the months that he's going to absolutely domineer affairs down here for 3.5 years. 42 months, it says in one place. In another place it says times and time and a half a time. And then it gives it in days in another place. Oh, by the mouth and the months. And the market Oh, yes, he takes over the markets. We were looking at it the other night, you know. When he's around, neither rich or poor, nor small, nor great, nor bond, nor free, will be able to buy nor sell. And the common market will be out broader then. That's what you call getting universal. Neither rich nor poor. Ah, but wait a minute, you see. He'll not only join this company that we see as ten toes and as ten powers in an economic community. He will join them in a political community, and then he'll join them in a religious community. And the religion he's going to use is the Roman Catholic system, and that's why this book talks about the scarlet woman riding the beast. I think that some of the extreme Protestants get this thing just a little bit wrong. You see, it's quite true that the woman is going to ride the beast. And the way we went last week and proved that it was the Roman system, there's no getting out of that. Now, what we want to ask now, how long will this Roman system rule when it comes to dominating power? Now, let's go back to Revelation 17, because the whole subject of the chapter was the judgment of the great horn. That's the bit we want to get the hold of. How long? And we have seen this. You see, I pointed out to the class, in case there's somebody here tonight who wasn't here last Tuesday, verse 6, John says, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And that proves this is the Roman system, this whore. There's no other system on this earth in history has been drunken with the blood of the saints but Rome. Oh, yes. My dear friend, in the Inquisition, Rome burned millions and millions of the best men and women that ever walked in shoe leather. We sometimes look back at Hitler's days, and he burned, and they know now that he burned 11 million Jews. And have a look at some of the pictures. And if you don't detest it with your soul, I don't know what you're made of. And I think Germany has it coming to them yet. The scum of the earth. Oh, the Germans always said we didn't know what they were doing. Ah, believe me. You don't get that over on me. They're sitting around them. If he'd won the war, you'd know where they were. They burned the Jews. Ah, but that was just 11 million. That's terrible. But Rome burned about 30 million. Go and look the Inquisition in Encyclopedia Britannica and see. Now you see, when this man of sin, this president, gets to the forefront, he's going to use this Roman system. Ah, but something's going to take place. See, verse 15, we're back there. And he says unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns, yes, we're at chapter 17 of Revelation, verse 16. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these are equal to the ten toes. I'll show you that in a moment. These shall hit the whore. Let's get that bit in. Because the common market's going to turn against Rome. Oh, yes, I know that some of the Protestants don't see it. Oh, yes, I know that Rome will be on the beast and will ride along for a little while and be the whole domineering religion of the world, and the world will have to bow. Oh, but there'll come a time when the tools will turn. And these ten shall hit the whore. That in your book, that's mine. And watch this, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Oh, don't you think God's letting her off? She is fire coming. There's a payday! Vengeance is mine. I will repay. Oh, yes. That's strange now that this old common market will turn Turk, isn't it? Yes. You see, if you're watching the notes, there was a moment or two when the Scarlet Woman was in control. And I want to just show you that that wasn't for very long. And then there's this great moment when the beast takes control again. But we'll come back to this. Now, let's get this quite clear, that verse 16 saith, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these 10, will you let me say, these 10 shall hit the horn." Got that? Right. Well, we're going back to Daniel chapter 7 now. The book of Daniel. And we're at the 7th chapter. I think I must refresh your mind about this vision that Daniel had. He saw four beasts. And we'll not read it all, so to save time. Verse 4, the first beast was like a lion. Then verse 5, behold another beast, a second, like to a bear. Verse 6, and this after this I beheld, lo, another, like a leopard. Verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold a fourth beast. Doesn't give you any name for this. This saith his fourth one is dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. It was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And here's the identification mark. And it had 10 horns. I think that's simple enough. Now, Daniel starts asking questions. Verse 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast. He's never seen anything like this before. Not only the truth of the fourth beast, verse 20, and of the 10 horns. Want to know about the beast, and I want to know about these horns. Now, here's what they told him. Verse 23. It's quite simple. Thus, he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, and the fourth great world empire, Gentile kingdom in this earth, was the Roman Empire. No troubles about that. There are historians here from Queens, and they've been very nice to me, come around and say that was great, and I thank you, because I think you know more about history than I do. And this is the fourth kingdom. And it's diverse from all kingdoms, of course, the historians know that. Shall devour the whole earth. And it did. Shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Of course, when you see the kingdom in the beast, you've got to differentiate between it and the 10 toes. Because the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings. Is that right now? And I can make all the historians stand up, and not one of them can find anywhere in Roman history of yore where there were 10 kings in the kingdom at once. It wasn't there. Oh, no, the ten horns, the 10 toes, the 10 kings. That's the revival that we're getting off it just now. It's your cursed common market. Here now, we're going to watch this, because the word for kings there is the word for powers or authorities or rulers. And we've got 10 powers, almost got them now. And even Israel has been stupid enough to ask to be an associate member of the common market and was accepted in a week or two ago. It's a pity they lost Golda Meir. Watch this, we're at verse 24. I must not lose what I'm trying to do. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings, it's quite clear, that shall arise, or 10 powers. And another shall arise after them. Another power going to arise. He's a person, this power, and he shall be diverse from the first. And he shall subdue 3 kings. Oh, that's a nice wee bit, isn't it? Now, that's very wonderful. Some of the scholars here, and we've got a lot of good Bible scholars, some of them said to me the other week, what about these 3 that's going to be destroyed out of these 10 toes? Now, it's not always possible to just name these powers like that. You see, I think that the people that live in that day will understand and see. 25 years ago, when I was trying to talk about the common market, when it wasn't here, some of the old Baptists thought I had gone mad. Oh, but they've all taken that back since then. Learned the ABCs. I have a feeling, now this is just a feeling, and you're not to swallow feelings. I have a feeling Germany has it in for them yet. And at this moment, they're the troublemakers in the common market. Yeah, they're giving the market a bit of trouble. They're pretty clever, you know. I was wondering if France was swinging inward. And pagan Belgium. I was just wondering, that's all. I don't know. But I can tell you this, when this man arrives, the 10 will be here. And he'll not be very long on the go till he puts 3 out. Ah, but before he puts 3 out, the 10 will deal with Rome. Oh, yes. You got it now. It isn't 7 that's dealing with Rome. So between the time that he arises and the time that he deals with 3, he will have allowed Rome to come to the forefront, and the 10 will have turned rebel and devoured her. So her reign is going to be pretty short. Don't let's forget. Just get the hold of it. It's in the book. Yes, I think she's going to be totally destroyed. And when this pagan system is destroyed, and I'll be in heaven when it's done, whatever corner of heaven I'm in, I shall shout at the top of my voice, Hallelujah! This has been a bitter system. I'm not talking about Roman Catholics. What would you have done had you been born a Roman Catholic? You had just been steeped in this system. But this cursed system needs dealing with. Making serfs of people. Yes, it's a pagan. It's a mystical. It's a Babylonish. It's an abominable system. Yeah, if God hates it, I'm allowed to hate it. Now let's get that settled. You see, he's going to deal with 3 of these toes. Ah, but before he does, the 10 is going to deal Now, let's go back to Revelation 17. Just taking you back and forward so that we can get... And when this pagan system is destroyed, and I'll be in heaven when it's done, whatever corner of heaven I'm in, I shall shout at the top of my voice, Hallelujah! This has been a bitter system. I'm not talking about Roman Catholics. What would you have done had you been born a Roman Catholic? He had just been steeped in this system. But this cursed system needs dealing with. Making serfs of people. Yes, it's a pagan. It's a mystical. It's a Babylonish. It's an abominable system. Yeah, if God hates it, I'm allowed to hate it. Now let's get that settled. You see, he's going to deal with three of these toes. Ah, but before he does, the ten is going to deal. Now let's go back to Revelation 17. Just taking you back and forward so that we can get the truth as it says here. You can see this woman in verse 15 sitting upon these peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, and won't she adore herself when she's doing it? And you can see the ten horns that are all together there, which thou sawest upon the beast. That's why I said, let me say, these ten shall hate the horn. They were all there then. So they're going to deal with her before the beast deals with the three that he has it in for. And the reason for all this is, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. Don't let's ever get to a place on this old planet of ours where we think that God has lost control. Oh, no, he hasn't. Big man in our prayer meeting this morning. He's here now and I can't say too much. I can see him standing up with his head down. He says, Lord, as we look round at this night that's passed, and these murders and bloodshed, Lord, there's nothing around us to help us. And when we look within, oh God, there's nothing within to help us. But oh God, we look up. And thou art still on the throne. He'd got the hold of it. He got it all. I was so pleased with it. Seldom praise in our prayer meeting. Yes. Ah, oh, don't let's forget that God is on the throne. Don't ever get to the place where you think God has lost control. We need to be reminded all the time that there is the permissive will and the directive will of God. You know, there are times when God sits down in the heavens and he just permits wicked men to do wicked things. I've often taken the case of Joseph when he was 17. My God permitted his brothers to throw him into the pit. And I called that the bitterness of brethren. Mind you, your brethren can be bitter at times. And then, you know, they took him out of the pit and they sold him down into Egypt. And then the princess down there wanted him to sexually sin with her. And he refused. And she told lies on him and got him put in the prison for 13 or 14 years. I think we forget how long he was in the prison. That's what you call the wickedness of the world. And when he was down in the prison, he made friends with the butler and the baker, and he told them their dreams, and he said, You know, you'll be restored, he said to the butler. And when you're restored to your job and you're in with the king, will you speak for me? And then here, I didn't do anything. And the book says the butler forgot Joseph. That's what you call the forgetfulness of friends. Mind you, the bitterness of brethren is a horrible thing. And the wickedness of the world is a horrible thing. And the forgetfulness of friends is a horrible thing. I wouldn't just know which one's the worst. I suffered from them all. Sometimes my brethren have been bitter against me because they've been jealous. They come and see this place stocked out like this and they get jealous. They call me all the names of the dead. There's a great pity of them, isn't it? The spirit that's in them is no good. Sometimes the world has taken it out on me. Oh, yes, we get people saved here. Big man the other week saved, put his arm around me. He says, you know, I've said more things about you than I've said about the devil. I said, you're only one of thousands. Don't worry yourself. Yes. And then your friends, oh, you help them. You take them aside. I've sat night after night with wee fellows and helped them. And then they become ministers of some other society. And then they cut you into ribbons. Oh, that's your friend. Oh, God allows them. I'll tell you this. While God permitted the brethren to deal bitterly with Joseph, and permitted the world to deal wickedly, and permitted the friends to forget, God was directing Joseph. That wasn't permission. He was directing Joseph to the very spot he wanted to be. Oh, while God permitted the devil to deal with Job, he was directing Job into double blessing. While God permitted wicked hands to take his son, he was directing affairs all the time. When men took the Lord Jesus and spat in his face, they were only doing what the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God knew would be done. Oh, yes, you know. God's on the throne. And the 10 beasts... all the 10 kings and the 10 this and the 10 that and the 10 the other. They'll do exactly as he wants. You see, God's in control. Let's get the hold of that. I was so pleased with the big man this morning. My, if you can stand in the dark day, I've often said this, when you stand on the wall of your little life and you look over the wall, and the flag of distress is hoisted in your life, and your sense, your poor little sense, can see nothing but sorrow. And your reason, your miserable little bit of reason, can see nothing but ruin. In that day, your faith can look up and see Jesus and win the battle every time. Oh, let's get our eyes on the heavens. Don't be looking too much at our mouth these days or nights. Let's get our eyes on the Lord. Now I'll tell you this, dear. When you turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face and keep it there, then the things of earth and the things of IRA and the things of everything else that's damnable and cursed, they grow strangely dim. Yes, remember that God is on the throne tonight. And he will remember his own. Ah, yes, God's in control. But you see, God was just allowing things to take place, and then these 10 toes, they're going to hate this system and they're going to burn it. But you know, there's a worse thing going to take place. Let's go back to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. And just to save time, at the end of verse 3, I think we should get this marked in our Bible. All the world. I think we forget that. All the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped, let's get the word worshipped in, they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. Now, who's the dragon given power unto this president? Well, if you want to know who the dragon is, if you go into chapter 12 and go back to verse 9, it says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Well, the Holy Ghost has put all the words in. The dragon is that old serpent called the devil and Satan. You couldn't miss that, could you? Yes, you know, the devil's going to help this man of sin. Yes, the devil's going to give him power. You see, the great plan of the devil is this, that he would like to be like the Most High God. In fact, this is what he said at the beginning when he failed as the anointed cherub. He said, I will be like the Most High. You see, he would love to be the anti-God. And this beast, he would love to put him on this earth as the anti-Christ. And there's another beast in this chapter, which is the false prophet. He would love him to be the anti-spirit. Because this is an evil trinity now. And when this evil trinity gets about, it will be worse than Roman Catholic diabolical religion. It will be worse. What did you get? Look, let's have a look at this. It says, verse 5, talking about this beast that's got this power from the devil. And there was given unto him a mouth, that's the mouth we were thinking about, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. You can't make any mistakes in that, it's 3.5 years. And the mouth and the months are there. And verse 7 says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And we'll leave that to next Tuesday because I want to show you his power. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nation, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Yes or no? As they tell me, the Mohammedans won't, brothers. They'll have to. They tell me the communists won't, brothers. They'll not be on the other side of the iron curtain then. Oh no, I'll tell you, he's got a way of dealing with them, and the way of dealing with them is the market. You see, let's get the hold of this. Verse 16, this is this third beast at work. He's working for the second beast. And he causeth all, both small and great. The word all means all, doesn't it? Both small and great, rich and poor, bond and free, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark. Oh, I tell you, when he gets round to numbering everybody, they'll have to get the mark or they'll not get any food. And the communists will have to bow to this. And the Mohammedans and the Chinese and the Indians and the Protestants of Ulster. Oh, well, you'll die if you don't. Says in verse 15, at the end of the verse, We read the whole verse, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now that's a tremendous statement. It needs looking into. How is he going to know who's worshipping and who's not worshipping? You know, I have a paper in my hand, and there's so many things on it I'd love to read to you. I was reading the other week from this paper, I just read a bit of it then, that there's a mighty three-story computer in the Brussels headquarters of the Common Market. Just now. This gigantic computer is designed to assign each citizen of the world a number to use in all buying and selling. The number would be invisibly laser tattooed on the forehead or on the back of the hand. Now, that's a tremendous thing. Now, just listen to this. There's a man alive tonight, and he's called Henry Spaak, S-P-A-A-K. Formerly a member of the European Common Market and General Secretary of NATO, said, "Send us a man who can hold the allegiance of all people, and whether he be God or devil, we will receive him." Well, he might just get what he's asking for. But this paper states that there is now, at this very moment, a television that's brought out in America at this moment, and it can be placed in your home so that you will see clearly who's speaking to you. Well, we can do that now. But this one's different. The one that's speaking to you can see clearly what you're doing about it. This is what I think this man of sin will use. So that the nation will be compelled. I believe the government will supply these. They'll be put in your home. And each morning, this man of sin will speak to the people of the whole world and tell you what to do. And you'll bow down on your knees at the old television, and he'll see whether you will or whether you won't. And if you won't, you'll be killed. Cause of all. Is that what it says? As many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. My dear friends, there's a day coming when the Jews will build their temple. I think that it's just a few weeks ago that I read a note that I have in the back of this Bible. Here it is. The New York Times recently carried a full-page ad for the purpose of collecting funds for the rebuilding of Solomon's temple. This ad was sponsored by Orthodox Jews. New York Times, full page ad, cost a bob or two. Oh yes, they're going to build the temple. I believe that Christ's coming first. But they'll go on and build the temple. And then this new president, he will sit in the temple. And he'll tell the people that he's God. Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians. Let's do it properly. Sometimes I go on talking and I should be really making you find the place. 2 Thessalonians, just where we were this evening, when we would be gathered unto him, and then shall that wicked one. It says at the end of verse 3, it gives you his titles. He's called the man of sin. the son of perdition. Watch verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God. Hey, they're going to build that for him. He's going to show himself as God. Won't it be a terrible day for this world when a man, a sinful man, a Satan-controlled man, sits in the house of God in Jerusalem, and the whole world watches through a supplied television, and he tells them exactly what he wants them to do, and if they won't do it, they'll be killed. Yeah, we're getting near the spot. Brethren and sisters, as I read this book and I study these prophecies, I feel day after day that Jesus Christ is coming to our world soon. One of these nights, we'll leave it, and they can keep it, and they can do whatever they like with it. Are you ready? If Jesus Christ came tonight, would your wife rise out of the bed beside you and go to be with Jesus forever? Would you lie on to meet the man of sin? Well, you young folks, your mother and father would go to glory. You'd be left behind for damnation. What about us believers that's supposed to know it all, yet couldn't get them out of their bed in the morning? Oh, they're brilliant. For any sakes, let's wake them up. These are the last of the last days. Next week, I'll show you the power of this president and the might of this market. The power of the president and the might of the market. Let's sing a couple of verses. While we sing, maybe those in the aisle would just stand to the side and let those chairs be free, and our deacons will take them out in 2 minutes. 975. The sands of time are sinking. The dawn of heaven breaks. The summer morn I've sighed for. That fair, sweet morn awakes. 975, first and last verses only, please. Thank you. About this message for all the old age pensioners here. It's free to you. Don't need to say anything. Just take it out of the fellow's hand and walk on. Nobody say anything to you. Not taking money of you. And all pastors that are here, and I see a number, Christian workers, they're yours free too. They don't want to make money out of you for the mission fee. May it bless you. Thank you. They'll be at all the doors. You're all right. There's plenty of them. Last verse, please. watch us in thy fear and with thy blessing, and take us to our homes in safety. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.